The Holy Spirit, and this is what we're going to talk about today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can give you discernment, and you can know when someone is he may not specifically tell you what it is, but you can know when someone's got something going on in their life. And I believe that when you have that discernment, you then have a responsibility to talk to them, to minister to them, to at least ask about their life, what's going on. Amen? As a fellow believer. And this is not to bring condemnation on anyone, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and He prompts you in these areas for a reason, because you have something in you that they need at that moment, at that specific point in time. Amen? And you need to share that with them. And you need to encourage them. Sometimes that's, I'm telling you, a timely word is the difference in someone's life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been, you know, down and out, and someone said something encouraging to you, or and it lifted you? It undergirded you in that moment? Have you ever been there? That's what we're here for. That's part of the reason we're here. Is to encourage and lift up one another. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some friendly neighborhood Casper ghost, okay? I know that people sometimes think that. I mean, if you study out of the old King James, you know, they call him the Holy Ghost. And so I think people that don't know better sometimes associate that with our modern day image of ghosts and ghouls and, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost, some kind of entity floating around in the air, you know. And no, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit was given to us when Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit has a ministry here in the earth. And that's what I want to talk about today. But we gave a definition. Some of y'all were hearing the definition of blessed. Does anybody remember that definition that I gave last 2 weeks? Empowered to prosper. I like that. I like that definition, empowered to prosper. And I gave some definitions of that word empowered so we could better understand that word blessed. But one definition, this is just, I want to review a few things here just to get us back on track. Empowered is authorized, having legal or moral right. We are authorized to prosper by God. We talked about the blessing of Abraham, how God blessed Abraham. He empowered Abraham to prosper. And Abraham was prosperous. Amen? And then there was another definition out of the modern dictionary. It says, having the knowledge, confidence, means, or ability to do things or make decisions for oneself. We can make decisions that prosper us. And then I shared this one. God has authorized us to gain knowledge. He's authorized us to gain knowledge, to get confidence, to seek the means or resources that give us the ability to make decisions in our life that will prosper us in a legal and moral way. And we talked about how we have to make those decisions based on the Word of God, right? Based on the truth of God. He's empowered us, just like He empowered Abraham. He's not going to do it for you, in other words. We talked about that. He's not going to do it for you. He's going to empower you to do it. He's not going to do it for you. Does that make sense? And you have to properly apply His Word in a legal and moral way. But that is why, this is why He has sent the Holy Spirit. This is why He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how we gain knowledge, get confidence, seek resources that gives us the ability to prosper. And when I say that word prosper, I'm not talking financially. I'm talking in every area of our life. We need to prosper in every area of our life. The three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. We got to prosper in every area of our life. And the Holy Spirit is one that empowers us
to do that. I shared out of John 14, verse 25. It said, Jesus is talking here, I've told you these things while I'm still with you. But, in verse 26, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. And He will cause you to recall. He will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. That is the Holy Spirit. And then if you looked at Luke 12, we went over this last week. Verse 11, it says, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not be anxious beforehand how you shall reply in defense of what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour and moment what you ought to say. He is your present help, your very present help in your time of need. You see, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about a response to anything because the Holy Spirit will teach us in that moment what we need to say. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. And remember I shared in John 14, if you back up there, Judas posed a question to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, how will you manifest yourself to us, the believers, and not to the world? How will you do that? How will you do that? We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. And all these will be coming out of the Amplified today. How will he do that? Verse 12 says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. How do we appreciate the gifts? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We just read it right there. It says it doesn't belong to the world, but He's been given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Verse 13, and we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit. By who? Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Say, I possess the Holy Spirit.
I possess the Holy Spirit.
Amen. But, verse 14, the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. He reveals himself to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? What purpose does He serve in our life? And how often do we overlook His purpose? How often do we pass by His ministry in our life? How often do we rely on ourselves to get the job done instead of relying on the one whom Jesus sent? He reveals himself through the person of the Holy Spirit, whom is the same that we talked about that purifies or sanctifies our soul. Remember, we talked about prospering in our soul and the importance of that. He does that with truth. And the same is our peace in times of trouble. Let me tell you, when we were sitting waiting for Dad to come out of the operation room, there was peace there. And I, you know, we all that were there are believers, and I believe the Holy Spirit was ministering that peace to us as part of His ministry. So you need to seek the Holy Spirit for that peace in whatever situation you may be going through. Remember, we talked about Jesus being in the back of the boat. He didn't have a care in the world about that storm raging around him. He had peace. And we're going to find out why when we talk about exactly what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We as believers have a secret weapon. Now, I know Wanda believes the children are a secret weapon, and they are, because of Operation School Guard. Any of y'all that are with that have that article that the children are a secret weapon in the last days. But we as believers, universal, have a secret weapon in the person of the Holy Spirit. We just read it. The world doesn't understand, doesn't comprehend, doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is. But we do. And that is how He reveals Himself to us in the person of the Holy Spirit whom we know. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is just review, but verse 3 and 4 says, "For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." The Holy Spirit is the weapon of our warfare. Spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons are mightier than natural weapons of these days. I'm telling you, my grandmother was praying for me. And that spiritual weapon was, I believe, and when I see her, I'm going to confirm this. but that spiritual weapon went to battle for my soul. Now, I had to make a choice. You know, just because she prayed for me doesn't mean that that's why I'm saved today. I had to make a choice. But when we pray for people, when we pray and it just does some things in the realm of the Spirit. It can rearrange some things. I believe prayer can cause laborers to come across our path that might not have come across our path had prayer not occurred. Yes. That's the importance of praying and why you should pray. Amen. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit is our weapon. He's the weapon of our warfare. He's the one that gives us counsel in uncertain times. James tells about if you don't have wisdom about something, ask for it. Ask, and He will give it to you liberally, he says. If you don't understand what's going on, something in your life, you don't understand something going on with your spouse or a loved one or a family member or a friend or a coworker, you don't understand. It's that discernment, okay? You know something's going on, but you may not understand why or what it is. Pray. And I'm telling you, in the supernatural realm, some things can get stirred up and some things in the natural realm can be rearranged and it can cause people to come across that person's path that you may not even know, that speaks a word into their life and changes that person's life forever. Amen? How is the Holy Spirit a weapon? Well, He's the very manifested presence of God within us. And He operates in seven distinct ways. And this is what I'm going to get into. I'm going to introduce it today. And next week we may get into more detail about it, Lord willing. But He operates in seven distinct ways. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 11. This is kind of where this is coming from. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Anybody remember who Jesse was? David's father. From Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see or make decision by what his ears hear. The prophet Isaiah was telling us about Jesus. He was prophesying about Jesus and how the Holy Spirit would operate in him. But as we just read in John 14, this is the very same Spirit that Jesus sent to us, that the Father sent to us in the name of Jesus when Jesus ascended on high. Amen? Therefore, we have access to the same Spirit that was on Jesus and operated in him. And it's that seven manifold, if you will, or seven expressions of the Spirit that are available to us today. There are seven distinct expressions, but one Holy Spirit. This is confirmed elsewhere in Scripture. You don't have to turn there, but it says, to the angel of the church of Sardis, I write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That's Revelation 3:1. Then from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. That's Revelation 4:5. Another one. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. That's Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Not seven individual spirits, not seven angels that some say that this is talking about, but it is one Holy Spirit with seven different expressions. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and these seven aspects of the Holy Spirit that ministered to us here in this earth. Amen? Now, we know that the number seven is God's number of perfection or completion, right? These seven spirits of God represent the complete Holy Spirit. The perfect, complete Holy Spirit manifested in seven expressions. Those seven, again, I'll give you the list. The Spirit of the Lord. How many know where the Spirit of the Lord is? There is freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from worry. Freedom from doubt. Freedom from suffering. Freedom. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Number two, Spirit of wisdom. We just said, we talked about that. If anybody lacks wisdom, ask. Ask and He'll give it to you liberally. Spirit of wisdom. Number three, Spirit of understanding. We've been spending a lot of time, especially with Operation School Guard, and Wanda has shared, you know, as heading up our prayer ministry, many times out of Ephesians 1, that we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Where have we heard these before? We just heard them. Number three, spirit of understanding. Number four, spirit of counsel. Number five, spirit of strength. Number six, spirit of knowledge. And number seven, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Not fear as in terror, but it's that reverential fear of the Lord. Knowing that He is God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Creator of this universe, that He flung the stars into existence, that He named them, each and every one, the countless number that there are out there, each of them have a name. He knows every hair on your head. That didn't take Him long for Kelvin. Maybe when he was younger. Or the mics. I see you over there too, Steve. Spirit of fear of the Lord. So what are we talking about here? Why am I spending some time here about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And like I said, we're just introducing it this week. I believe next week we'll get into more details about those seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. But how many like to see church growth? Well, I would say amen to that, but I would ask you a question. Why? Why do you want to see church growth? I don't want a response. I don't want a response, but I would ask that you ask yourself that. Just have a conversation. Have a conversation, just like... when my dad asked Levi, when he was talking to himself, and Levi said, "I'm just having a conversation with my brain, Pop. Just having a conversation with my brain." Have a conversation with yourself and ask yourself, why do I want to see church growth? And then ask yourself another question. How do I facilitate that? How? Because you have a purpose in this earth. God has given you a purpose. You are unique. You are a unique individual with a unique purpose that only you can fulfill in this earth. And I believe we need to ask ourselves these questions from time to time. And then rely on the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to carry it out in our lives. But if you look at Acts chapter 9, and I'm just going to read verse 31. Says, so the church, this is the early church, throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom, virtue, and piety, and walking in the respect and reverential fear of the Lord. And in the consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit. And it continued to increase and was multiplied. If you truly want church growth and you want it for the right reasons, then we need to walk in respect and reverential fear of the Lord and in the counsel, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one, but with seven distinct expressions that empower us. Listen, He empowers us to prosper. He empowers us to prosper. He blesses us by His ministry to us. Now, when I said ministry of the Holy Spirit, when I first said that, what we were going to talk about today, how many immediately thought of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Oh, he's going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes in modern church circles, that is where the focus goes. To the gifts of the Spirit. Those that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I don't know, don't hold me to this, but I don't know if you can fully operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How many know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is? Found in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So when you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you'll bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then you can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or you could say it like this: the ministry is the operation, the fruit is the evidence, and the gifts are the benefits. So when we understand how the Holy Spirit operates, we'll bear evidence of the Holy Spirit. And when we bear evidence of the Holy Spirit, we'll receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Sometimes we like to get the cart before the horse, though. We want the gifts. We want to see these power gifts and these things happening. But we don't have a clue how the Holy Spirit ministers and how His ministry is working. You know, the only time that the cart comes before the horse? It's in the dictionary. See, Reggie, see, I don't have it. I just don't have that joke-telling capability. We got any philosophers in the audience? It's kind of like the horse that went into the bar and ordered a drink. Now, you know this is a joke because, first of all, horses don't go into bars and they don't talk, right? It's like the horse that went into the bar and ordered a drink. Don't shake your head at me. And the bartender said, "I see you in here all the time. Are you an alcoholic?" And the horse said, "I think not." And poof, he disappeared. Well, that's the joke. Oh, you wanted me to explain it first. Oh, okay. Well, if I had explained it first, then I would have put Descartes before the horse. I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd get it. Those of you who don't know, come on, Descartes is the one that said, "I think, therefore I am." But the horse said, "I think not." So the horse wasn't. He disappeared. Okay. All right, we're going to move right along. Move right along. We're not talking about cows now. Y'all pray for me. Pray more for my wife. I got to practice these on her. Proverbs 25 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search it out." We are kings and priests of the Most High God. And it's His glory to conceal something, but it is our honor to seek it out, to discover it, to find it. It's like burying a treasure in a field and going out and looking for the treasure. How many of you find a treasure, man, you celebrate when you find that treasure? The Word of God is the same. When you dig into the Word of God and you find those nuggets, that treasure hidden in His Word, man, you celebrate that. Oh, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I believe that it will open up doors of opportunity to us that we've never even seen before. We didn't even know a door existed there. But when we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this earth for us, then it's going to change some things. You're going to start bearing some fruit in your life. Man, there are times you can see the love of God all over someone. That is fruit. Because they understand something. They have a revelation about something in their life. They have a revelation about something in the Word of God that allows them to share that love, to show that love. When you see someone walking through something catastrophic and there's peace on them, they have a revelation about something in the Word of God. Amen. When you see someone that remains faithful throughout all the trials and the tribulation and the trouble that comes their way, and they are steadfast and faithful, it's because they have a revelation about something in the Word of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? We're to search these things out. We're to question these things. We're to question ourselves. Judge ourselves. When the Holy Spirit is in operation, then we see the evidence and we receive the benefits. And just like we read 1 Corinthians 2, and we comprehend and appreciate them. We comprehend and appreciate them. Amen. Amen. Are you encouraged today? I endeavor by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage you each and every week. And this is part of the reason why we gather together. The Word says to don't forsake to assemble together as believers and encourage one another. As we see the days approaching, as we see what's going on in society around us, in the world around us, we understand, we have a revelation of the Word that says we're in the world, but we're not of it. We are peculiar people, set apart. You are set apart. We may participate in the things of this world, but we are set apart to a higher call, destined for a better place. And we want to take all those that we can with us. So as we better understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He is our helper. He is here to help us, to help you. That's why He came to this earth. We just read it. He's your standby, your advocate. He fights for you. He intercedes on your behalf. He's your helper. He's your counselor. He'll lead and guide you into the truth of a matter. He's that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of knowledge, that spirit of strength. Spirit of understanding. That is all the ministry of the Holy Spirit available to you. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Like I said, I'm going to endeavor to dive into more detail about each of those aspects of the Holy Spirit next week. And I believe that He wants to reveal some things to His church. I believe it's timely because of what we see happening, going on around us, and you know, we've talked about it before. You can't help but see how things are lining up. I believe to usher in the end of this age, and that should be encouraging to us. It should not spark anxiety or fear or any of that. If anything, it should create an urgency within you to seek out lost souls or people that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to reach out to and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Let them know that there is hope. There's always hope. Always hope. And continue to pray. Continue to pray. Prayer changes things. It changes things. It changes things. Operation School Guard, continue to pray for these children. Because I'm telling you that the enemy is after the seed. Our natural seed. Our children in this earth. And we shared just this from the end times class. You know, the enemy believes that if he destroys, and I can't go into the, but the enemy believes that if he can destroy the Jewish people, then he can thwart, that's not the right word, he can change his destiny. And I won't go into details, but it's the same for the seed of the kids in this earth, that if the enemy can destroy or influence or distract or cause the young ones to turn from God or to stay from God, He can wipe out an entire generation. But that's not going to happen. We ain't going to allow it. We are not going to allow it. Amen?
Amen.
We are not going to allow it.